It's a kind of thought and image that may be the source of much distraction to us if we're not careful. It is something that is already part of our life, our thinking, our relationships, and for that reason, we may easily become emotionally involved and drawn out of our peace and silence when we're centering. As always, the answer here is to use the prayer word and gently, quietly get back to that loving awareness of the Lord. Be careful not to let yourself get annoyed with the thought, because that is already a form of involvement, and you are being drawn out of that peace that should be there. There will be times when you have already come into that quiet peace that's so refreshing to our spirit, and suddenly a precious insight surfaces, like something new, better to do on your spiritual journey, a new way to exercise some virtue that has been difficult for you. Or it may be a deeper understanding of events in your past life that have always been a mystery to you. Or you have come upon a way of solving a family problem that is full of wisdom. Or you have found the answer to a question that your friend has put to you. At times, these insights may be just very superficial, that have little value, while at other times, they may indeed be brilliant. If they are precious, the good Lord will not allow you to forget them, and they will come back at a time when you can put them to use. As always, use the prayer word, get back to that steady faith and love awareness of the beloved within you. At another time, you may have what seems to be an urgent thought to pray for someone. What should you do? Ordinarily, you should let the thought pass and wait. But if your discernment shows that it is something that needs to be done right now, like a person in dire need or in danger of a threat to life, pray for a moment in tongues, if you are in the charismatic renewal, or in your own words. You may find later on that the person you prayed for was assisted by God's power in a wonderful way. This has happened at different times in the charismatic renewal. However, if you find that such a thought is happening every time you begin to center, let it pass until you have finished praying. Then you can make intercessory prayer. During centering prayer, you are allowing God to talk to you, and you should be listening instead of letting interruptions interfere with that communication. You simply let the thought pass, use the prayer word, get back to the awareness of God. People who are very creative may find certain distractions quite a problem. Writers, composers of music, artists who paint, designers, students doing research, scientists, lecturers, preachers, theologians, and so on. Or anyone who is creative may find that good thoughts can be a problem during centering prayer. The insight may seem to be brilliant and just the answer you have been seeking for a long time, even years. Later on, when you have interrupted your prayer to give it some attention, you find after prayer that it was not so brilliant, nor that useful, but it seemed that way. Again, if it is brilliant and from God, by letting it pass, you will find that it will come back later on when you can use it. Let's not rule out the possibility of the spirit of evil using such a thought and image as a trap to draw us out of our inner peace and union with the Lord. He is an evil, jealous spirit and will do anything to prevent us from growing in a closer union with God, because it means he will have less and less power over us. It must be said again and again, let every thought and image pass when you are centering. Let nothing draw you out of that interior silence that is the special climate for growing in an ever deeper union with the Lord. Normally, God is speaking to your spirit in a language that cannot be put into words. It is a communion of your spirit with the Holy Spirit, of God to soul. So it is not something that can be put into words or feelings or images. It is a precious and blessed anointing of the soul, and the fruit of it will become apparent long afterward. For example, in a peace and joy that remains with us for days, in a great desire to do only what God wishes of us, in an ability to administer words of wisdom to a friend in need, in a burning love of God that fills us to overflowing. All this happens to us in that time of silence, of simple, loving awareness of God. That's God infilling us. It was St. John of the Cross, the great mystic, who gave the wise advice, quote, "Faith and love are the surest guides to the highest union with God." Now, as we remain before God in pure faith, without any other thoughts or images, and reach out to Him in love, our spirit is truly in a loving, blessed contact with that infinite being. In this communion, God's communications to our spirit are deep and long-lasting and above our faculties, meaning beyond them. Only in our will and our love can we experience Him, but not with our understanding, because God cannot be understood by our puny little minds. So visions, revelations, ecstasies are fragments of God's infinite treasures, but they are not God Himself. But when we turn to God in faith, then this infinite being is present to our spirit in all His infinite perfections. And this is beyond anything that we could ever understand. However, we can love Him and be united to Him in an ever-growing love relationship. So you can see the wisdom of the great Carmelite mystic, John of the Cross. Faith and love are the surest guides to the highest union with God. In time, as we grow deeper in the habit of centering, and much more so in contemplation, our spirit becomes refined, cleansed, and God begins to fill it with precious gifts, or rather, the gifts we already have received, baptism, come into play more and more, like the use of the seven gifts of the Holy Spirit. More and more, our spirit is attuned to the Holy Spirit and is moved by the Holy Spirit to various activities that involve the use of the seven gifts and also the charismatic gifts. There is a new outlook on the world around us and a greater awareness of spiritual values as applied to life around us. There is greater detachment from the things of the world and from those things that the world holds in much esteem. Also, too, God's presence within the spirit of such a person begins to radiate to others. People may not be able to identify it, but they are touched by the divine presence as it shines through that person. Think of someone like Mother Teresa of Calcutta, or Pope John Paul, or Mother Angelica, and Padre Pio, just a few. Within our person, the ability to be aware of things in the immediate present is sharpened. That loving look at God, that awareness, is something like a look of wonder of a little child as it looks at a little bug crawling on the ground, or at a flower, or a little bird as it feeds on some bread thrown to it, or a little animal like a little cat as it frisks about and plays with a little ball. You mothers had that advantage when you saw that look of, it just looked. Remember? Can you remember your little baby on the floor looking at something and watching it? That's the look of wonder. This look of wonder is not an analytical look or a look of judgment, but just a quiet joy of discovering something beautiful and absorbing without any comment on what it looks like. It is like the look of wonder when we suddenly come upon a beautiful rainbow after a rainfall. Have you ever seen a perfect rainbow? I mean a complete circle. I mean a complete circle.
I saw it when I was playing tennis. I looked up and a whole circle around me.
That is very unusual. Where I saw it was at Niagara Falls, where I spent 8 years. The spray that it throws up is conducive to that. But the rainbow was over the falls, but as you looked down below, you saw the completion of it. It was unusual. Beautiful. Could only have taken a picture then. But that's the only time I've ever seen a complete rainbow. And I think very few people ever have.
It reminds me of the host.
There have to be unusual conditions, I think, because all you see is a half rainbow. Again, as you look at a beautiful mountain scene, as we walk over a high, elevated hill, the look of wonder as we look out into, say, space, and the televised explorations of the astronauts into God's universe. I remember the time, and that was when they sent the two astronauts for the first time to the moon. And they flashed back a picture of our Earth and looked like a colored marble. Do you remember that?
Yes.
What a marvelous scene. There you were down there in that little marble, looking up there at yourself. That's our technology. What a beautiful privilege we had to see ourselves that way. Just think of that. This is one of the characteristics that Jesus invited us to imitate when he said we should become like little children. A child lives in the present, enjoys living for the moment, just being alive, joyful, over what pleasant thing is happening to it at the moment. So we too must learn to just be. Living for this moment before the Lord. Just loving him without any comment about it on our part, but enjoying it without analyzing it or stepping back from it to reflect on it. This is particularly true when in contemplative prayer or in centering prayer, we experience some of the blessings that become manifest to our faculties. There are many degrees of God's love that we can experience, and all of these bring with them many thoughts or feelings or images, and our inclination will be to analyze them or begin to reflect on them. All we should do is accept the experience, enjoy it, remain in it as long as it lasts, like a child resting in the arms of his father. But here, we are resting in God's arms. At such times, it is important that we are content with just being, rather than doing. We should be receptive to whatever is given, and not begin to move about with our reasoning mind and imagination. We would then prevent God's blessings from having their full effect. At such times, we find that our energies are renewed, and we are able to undertake tasks that would otherwise bring great fatigue. Well, that's true of many of the saints who were constantly united to the Lord. It seemed like they had inexhaustible energy. St. Vincent de Paul, he was the founder of a number of institutions, the Sisters of Charity of St. Vincent de Paul. of also the religious men. He also founded orphanages, homes for unwedded mothers. He had all kinds of ministries. He was also one of the counselors to the king, and he was only about that tall. He was just a dynamo, but he was tuned into God. Mother Teresa of Calcutta, 75, founded 200 institutions, 200. And it's not an easy life. Where does it come from? We know. It cannot be emphasized enough that we must not hold on to whatever experiences are given to us during centering prayer by God. And St. John of the Cross enumerates many of them. When they are from God, they have their immediate effect without our doing anything about it, like a revelation that is intended only for us, like God saying to us at a time when we're troubled, and you hear the words, "Be at peace." There will be an immediate experience of peace before we can accept it or reject it. Or God may say, "Rejoice and be glad." And at once, our spirit will respond in joy. So, too, with blessings of growth in love and an increase in some virtue like hope, leading us to an absolute trust and abandonment to God. Since these are precious graces and blessings, we would think that there is no harm in holding on to them. But all these graces and favors are in themselves not God. They are only gifts of God. Whereas in centering prayer, we are seeking God and not necessarily His gifts. So our attitude should be, enjoy and receive the experience, but do not hold on to it. As long as God chooses to allow the gift to remain with us, we should be receptive. But then we should let it pass, remain in union and communion with God. We will be with our God in a union of love, but in pure faith. For faith alone can present God to us as He is. All the spiritual exercises of the mystical life can never give God to us as He is. Ecstasies, levitations, revelations, consolations, all kinds of experience of God's love. These are only a fraction of God's infinite riches, but they are not God. Yes, accept them when given. Let them have their blessed effect on our spirit and in our bodies too. But we must go beyond them to the infinite being of God, who is beyond all these experiences. It is easy for souls to be lost in these experiences and to remain in them long after they've had their intended effect. Meanwhile, God is waiting for them to catch up with Him. So they are in a state where they are lost in the gifts of God, but not with the God of those gifts. All this calls for radical detachment of the deepest kind, the detachment of our spirit even from God's precious gifts. But in order to be attached to the very source of all these gifts, the God of gifts. Now that's maybe a little deeper than you think. And then thoughts that come when we're already in deep peace. There will come a time when we are in deep peace and free of thoughts and images. Our loving awareness of God does not bring us any kind of insight about the blessed presence within us, except that we feel a special anointing of the Holy Spirit. Our soul is bathed in a light that cannot be described, along with much love, and we have no doubt that it is the Lord, and we are in His arms. We sense that a great deal of healing is going on, like our painful memories, with its many emotional wounds of guilt, doubts, fears, anger, unforgiveness, and so on, all being healed at one time. With this comes a conviction that all our past sins and faults are forever forgiven and forgotten. But now there comes a very subtle thought, like, what a fantastic experience. This is absolutely out of this world. Or, I wish I could remember how I got here so I can repeat it again. And with that, presto, we find ourselves outside our beautiful peace and calm, struggling to get back in, because we became involved with that distracting thought. So the answer here is, when the thought surfaces, let it pass. And if you find it getting a hold on you, repeat your prayer word. We must keep in mind that at all times, we must let God act in us, and it is not our doing that is going to bring us closer in a union of love with God. We, at that time, are submitting to the action of the Holy Spirit within us, and that means waiting upon Him in patient, loving awareness of God within us. All we have to do at that time is to keep letting all those thoughts pass, and images, and feelings, as we doggedly remain in loving awareness of God. Keep in mind that we can be in that presence, enjoying it without reflecting upon it. We call this pure awareness. It does not require any reflection about it. It's like experiencing an intense delight and just enjoying it to its fullest extent without any comment about it or reflection on it. You mothers are a good example. When you had your first baby, then your mother love suddenly became, you became aware of it, maybe long before that too, but when that new life was in your arms, then there was such a love within you that you never knew before. You were just loving that baby to death, but you were never commenting that I'm loving my baby. You were just enjoying it. Now there's the best example of what I'm talking about here. Doing it, enjoying it, but not reflecting on it. And many other times you express that love without reflecting, like you made a sacrifice for your child and never thought, I'm making a sacrifice. You did it automatically, out of pure love. You didn't expect a reward, or there wasn't an angle to it. It was just, you love that child, and this is a way to show it. So our experience of God in prayer fills us with the deepest reverence, joy, peace, love, and a certain awesomeness and majesty about the divine presence. Sometimes that awesomeness can be so overpowering that it forces us to lie flat on the floor, because God deserves that kind of worship and adoration. I've seen priests after Mass flat on the floor. Holy Father does that too. But if we become possessive and try to hold on to it, we lose it. If we let it go, it will come back to us. We must constantly deal with our tendency to hang on to these spiritual blessings, and they can be the biggest obstacle to the highest union with God. When our union with God has reached its final perfection, will not be tempted to become possessive, for we will realize that we have the God of all blessings as my own. Don't have to worry about the blessings. We've got the God of blessings. Amen. Amen. Now, How about some of those questions? This is your chance to be recorded forever.
I'm new here. I just want to know what you mean by when you go into prayer.
Well, as you know, we're talking about centering prayer, not just any kind of prayer, like meditation, vocal prayer. That's not what we're talking about. Well, see, you're presupposing information we've given for 4 months. I can't give it to you in just even in this day. But you were here for the whole day so far, weren't you? All right. So we mentioned, in other words, that it's a kind of prayer we place ourselves in God's presence by an act of faith. And then, believing that He's there, we say to that presence, to God, I love you. We don't see Him. We believe He's there, and He hears us. That's it. Very simple kind of prayer. For some people, it may be too much right off. Perhaps for you, I'm not sure. But even children practice it now, and when they're taught properly. So why not you? Why not try it? See, if you know what to do. Now, I do have a prayer card on the table with those three guidelines, and you might pick that up and try it. Also, this book here, we have that on the table. It's an excellent book, and it has the information that would help you. Okay? Does that help you to some extent? Okay. Anyone else? Any problems that you're having that I haven't gone into yet or that you're having right now with your centering?
I get one distraction. That's really beautiful, but it's a distraction. It's so beautiful. These beautiful colors. The iridescent purple.
Well, your problem is then images. In other words, you're getting images with all kinds of attractive colors. Well, maybe you're drawn to colors, okay? But that may be a temptation from Satan too, see? So let it pass. But don't be violent about it, like swatting flies, you know? But just get back to your prayer word, and if you need to, focus on God's presence as a glow. Remember we said sometimes you have to use the imagination to help you. So focus on presence as a glow. And that may help. Or an image, a double image of Jesus. And that'll tune everything else out. All right? Anyone else? Carol? I've heard that name Mandala, but I'm vague about what it means entirely. What else did you say about receiving colors? Well, if she got lost in the colors, she was forgetting the presence. Mm-hmm. That was not good. Again, it's what I said here. You're leaving God for His gifts. That doesn't work. See, that's a sign of possessiveness. It's really our detachment that is expected of us then, to let go of everything except the Lord. And He's everything, creator of all things, the very things that we admire or lost in. It's like, you know, getting lost in a little nugget of gold and you have a whole mountain of gold that you could hold on to. And that's God. He's the treasure of all things.
Father, I would explain this. When I'm at Mass and I close my eyes to just get all distractions out, if I had been looking at the altar, like I have the whole image of the cross and the candles, you know, and it comes into my closed eyes, and then it fades. I enjoy seeing that one, but that wouldn't be a
This is at the Mass.
At the Mass.
And you have an image within you.
Yeah, so that, you know, I close my eyes and I can see the cross, the shadow of the cross and the candle. Mm-hmm.
If it keeps you close to God, all right. If not, get back to the action that's already happening, like the consecration. Mm-hmm. If you're lost in candles and shadows when the consecration is taking place, I'd say that's a distraction.
Yes. Yes.
See, in other words, if you're more conscious of the action that's already, that's actually taking place, that's important.
I'm just thinking, just to get a good perspective on these gifts, maybe if I thought of it as a as these gifts, you know, of whatever it is, counseling or wisdom or whatever it is, it's there to make me a whole person, you know, to bring me to get to God in a better state, you know, so they don't distract me, but it's just God's working to bring me to Him in a better position than I was when I started out, you know.
Well,
I'm just trying to get some kind of perspective on, so I don't get lost in the gifts, you know, and I can think more
well,
of them as
a... Do you mean during prayer you get an insight about a gift that you could use?
Yeah.
Is that it?
Right.
Let it pass. If it's centering prayer. If it's centering prayer, let it pass. Because if God is giving you the gift, it'll be there when you need it.
Okay? And if it's outside the sanctum prayer.
Fine.
Then
that's the time to talk to the Lord about it, pray on it, and thank Him, and ask Him to increase the gift, and so forth.
Right.
See? But only centering prayer, because centering prayer is letting God talk to us.
Right.
You don't interfere with that.
Mm-hmm.
See? Anyone else? As I said before, too, when you are at home and you're centering, you run into a problem, you don't know the answer, write it down. So when you come here next month, then you'll have it. This way, if you try to remember it, oftentimes you forget it. And it may be an important question, because if you don't have an answer, it's going to continue to trouble you. But usually, the questions that we're covering have been asked by many people. And they do cover a large area at almost all levels. But it may be unique to you. And whatever it is, write it down and we'll try to answer it. But above all, if you're doing it now, and I hope you are, stay with it. Don't give it up. Because that's when God does the most for you. When you tune everything out and you're before Him and let Him take over. And sometimes at Mass, you may be led to do that. Many people do it at communion time as part of their thanksgiving. Have your customary way of thanking the Lord, then just move into that quiet silence. Because the Lord has a lot to say to us. He's waited 24 hours, and if we're talking all the time, He'll say, "Gee whiz, it's my turn." Pat?
You know, if you have received certain gifts when you're centering prayer, is it best, but, you know, being human, even, I mean, I would actually want this to happen again. I mean, I guess I'm not that spiritually mature. So should a person stop at a certain point when they are expecting these things to happen?
No.
Even though you know you're expecting it.
If God is doing it, He'll do it no matter what you're doing. And you're only interfering with it by reflecting on what He's doing. Just be with the Lord. It's like you're a model and the artist is painting you on the canvas. So if you're constantly looking at the canvas moving around, He'll say, "I can't do anything with you." See, you have to be still. So then, no activity on your part, just let the Lord take over, be with Him. Whatever He's doing is fine, enjoy it, but don't analyze it. Uh, Anyone else? Yes? Say that again. After you're finished praying. Or a time of discussion like this. Or if it's something urgent, then after finished praying, ask the Lord if it's something that you must do now or how soon.
Then would that be classified as meditation?
Would that what? Supply for?
Would that be classified then as meditation?
It could be, yes. If after your centering you turn to the Lord and said, Lord, what did you mean by this? That's a conversation with the Lord. That's what we call a form of meditation, conversational prayer. Yes. Lucy?
I find in analyzing, as Father says, you let go, and it's all God. In other words, you let go, and it's God. And you, when you're finished, you walk away with whatever you have in this peaceful feeling. And I find my analyzing in reading. When I read, all of a sudden, this particular reading jumps up at me and says, this is part of what God is working on in me. And it comes to you. So you see that and you say, okay, then I have to work on that because God is helping me. And you find it through reading and listening. Listening. That's where we come here to listen. But it is true. And a discussion group is good. And as Father says, save your questions. And even in your reading, if something comes in, as I said, jumps at you, and you still can't put it into focus, bring it with you. And in this prayer, ask Father.
Do you have any of these books?
Yeah, I can.
Not that one.
You have Centering Prayer? All right. Now, that's very good. May not have all the questions, but the Abbot Keating has some excellent questions over the years that he has been working, and he's put them together in a kind of book form. And you'll find it very interesting. Anyone else? Well, if you noticed, in this last conference, a thought we came back to frequently, and we will many more times, all thoughts, feelings, experiences, let them pass. Remember the sitting in the window? Looking out the window, here comes an automobile. Is it a Ford, a Chevy? You're involved. So here's a car. All right, car, pass. You're not involved. Here's a woman with a beautiful hat. Uh-oh, you're going to be involved. Be careful. See, when it's interesting or inviting, then you have to be careful. Then say your prayer word. Let it pass. A holy thought. Oh, got to hold on to this. Let it pass. It's not better than God who is in front of you, but you don't understand God. But he is there. It's like a conversation. Suddenly the Lord's talking to you, and you look over here, and the Lord's saying, what's happening to me? See? That's what it is. You are deserting him for this little tidbit over here.
Father, do you think we're always battling the spirit of the devil?
No. No. We have to be careful about seeing the devil in everything. There are two extremes. To say there's no devil, and to say he's waiting for me around every corner. He's in the car, he's in my kitchen, he's in the refrigerator. He might be. He's saying yum yum. Oh, if he's anywhere, he's not in the refrigerator because that's too tempting to anybody. Especially because it's not when you've got old stuff in there. Then you don't want to go near it. But, no, there shouldn't be a happy medium. But yes, Satan is abroad. He's very active. And we have to use God's discernment as to when that may be influencing our life.
I was so horrified that the devil, you don't have to worry about too much because he's not everywhere. God is everywhere. But what you have to be more concerned about is the demonic, the devil with his
Well, those are our faults, our passions, our vices, our bad habits. That's what some people call the devil within. And yes, well, big sinners, it's often said, Satan doesn't have to tempt them. They're already with him. Mm-hmm. See? It's people who pray. That's where the devil prowls. And that's why Archbishop Sheen once said, do you know where the devils are most active? A lot of people were thinking, you know, well, maybe in 42nd Street. And maybe with the mafia and so forth. And he said, no, monasteries. There are thousands of them around there because those people are dedicated to God. They're praying. And Satan doesn't want that because they are defeating him. So he doesn't want you to pray. So if you find your prayer time is always something crops up, you know, oh, I've got to do this and that, suspect something. Be faithful to your prayer time. Well, final call. Or forever hold your peace.
Mother Teresa sister asked me the other day to ask prayers for them because they're having retreat this week. Because some of them are going to take their initial vows on the 7th of December and the rest are going to take, some taking their final vows on the 28th. It's going to take place in Washington, so they're
well, as far as possible, keep that in mind.